This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. It's been almost 1 year since Michigan legalized recreational marijuana. And in case you haven't been keeping up, sales in Michigan are through the roof. The Michigan Marijuana Regulatory Agency projects that sales receipts might reach $1 billion in 2020. What a time to start a business. Back in March, we first spoke with the leadership team of Calexium, a female black-owned cannabis operation located in Detroit that had the experience of creating their startup as the coronavirus hit. We wanted to see how things were going. Rebecca Collette is the CEO of Calexium, and Latoya Rucker is the company's chief operating officer. Rebecca, Latoya, welcome back to Stateside.
Hey, April. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to be back.
Well, how's the business going?
Well, fortunately for us, cannabis has been essential all through the pandemic. So business is booming. We've seen sales increase by up to 35% ever since March. We can't even keep up with demand.
I mean, did you ever think that things were going to be like this in your first year of sales?
No, actually. It was definitely a little mind-boggling that we decided to start a business during a pandemic. I mean, it kind of was just like a who could have picked the timing. So at first, you know, with COVID and the pandemic, we got really nervous. You know, everything was shutting down. We've never seen anything like this before in our lifetimes. It was like a movie, you know, and things just start picking up. I never could have imagined that there was some good to be made out of the pandemic, you know, that there were actually going to be industries that were going to surge. I never would have imagined, because at the beginning, when at least when we talked to you, things were pretty scary outside. Like nobody could go outside, you know, it was pretty scary.
And, you know, there were families in grief as well. It was just hard to know like where consumers' heads were going to be. Latoya, I understand that even so, there's a lack of cannabis supply in Michigan, maybe because receipts have been so positive. And I'm reading reports about wholesale suppliers trying to get in there for that gap. How are you guys dealing with scarcity at this moment?
You know, cannabis is a crop. And so, you know, you have to plan ahead of time to make sure that you have enough supply to meet the demand. And that's something that we've always done.
Have you run into supply chain issues?
No, being caregivers, we haven't. But as you know, I'm not sure if you're aware, but, you know, as of September 30th, we could no longer put our products inside of dispensaries. So that's been a little bit challenging.
Can you explain what happened?
So the MRA are really focusing on the licensing or the license grows. And as a caregiver, they're kind of phasing out of the caregiver program.
So last time we spoke, you were also gearing up for construction on a brick and mortar store. I wondered what the status on that is and how you are able to make contact with retailers right now.
So we're just continuing the process of the construction. We recently just got notice from the city of Detroit that we are approved to start breaking ground. So we're really excited. It's been a long process working with the city, basically a year to the day almost, that we submitted the application. We finally got our final approvals. And so we'll be building a 10,000 square foot facility on the west side of Detroit, and we'll be able to cultivate and process our products. And so we're just keeping the relationship going as far as just contacting the people that we typically would be selling to if we had our license, and just keeping that relationship going.
Are you in a place where you can actually go visit them, or is it just touching base over other means like calling up on the phone or dropping them an email or a text message?
Yeah, well, we can definitely go visit. We just technically can't sell our products to them right now. So we have to focus on our patient market that we have.
What's the best way that you found to do that, to stay in touch with patients?
So, I mean, the relationships that we have with our patients have been built over time. So that's something that is kind of set in stone through the state. You know, we are their licensed caregiver. So they know when they need medicine, they can come to us.
I understand you're also expanding your community education programs. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
The community side is something I'm really passionate about. So anytime somebody asks us about the community, I'm like,
itching to tell everybody about the wonderful work that we've been doing. So since we last talked, April, we've actually launched some community cleanup programs in our community. We've kind of cleaned up some Beckway alleys and some areas across from some elders in the community. So that's been really great to kind of in real time see the impact that we've already made in the community. We also are in the process working with the city of Detroit to kind of buy up the remaining vacant lots. In our area, there's a lot of vacant lots and dilapidated homes. There's a lot of blight. So we're in the process of buying the rest of that vacant property to turn them into some community space. So we want to build like some parks and courtyards, but then we also want to build some gardens. So we're in the process of actually doing that now. We've already acquired some homes that we've already started to fix up and make the curb appeal a little better. And then we've been working with our neighborhood blocker club association, just a group of elderly members in the neighborhood. And we're working to launch some after school programs in that community, hopefully later this fall. So we're really excited to be doing all this community work even before, you know, our facility is constructed. It's really exciting that we're able to make an impact even before we're in full operating mode.
It sounds like when we're talking about that, we are also talking about how you maintain relationships with patients and customers and potential customers.
Yes, certainly over the summer, we've been able to go into the community, introduce ourselves, introduce our brand and our mission and vision. And people have really started to take a liking to us being Black women from the west side of Detroit, actually, and really kind of bringing it full circle. We are from the community, grew up in the community, and now we're coming back to really empower the community in economic ways, community ways. So we're really kind of bringing it full circle. And I think people are really starting to build an attachment to our brand, you know, being Detroit owned, women owned. I definitely think that's one of the things that has changed over the pandemic is people are looking for brands to do more. You know, they're looking for brands to do more about equality, inclusion, community give back. It's definitely a unique time in our country where our people are looking for, you know, companies and corporations to do more, to have more social impact than they used to, in my opinion, at least. We've seen that.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Rebecca Collette. She's the CEO of the Detroit cannabis business, Collexium. We're also joined by Collexium's Chief Operating Officer, Latoya Rucker. Medical and recreational marijuana sales are nearing the $1 billion mark this year in Michigan. Rebecca, there have been some changes to Detroit's social equity cannabis program. Can you tell us about some of what's changed?
Yeah, one of the changes that they made to the social equity program was expanding in the amount of affected communities you could be from. So, you know, one of the requirements, if you will, of being an approved social equity applicant is you would have to have lived in a certain zip code that was impacted by the quote unquote war on drugs for at least the last 2 or 3 consecutive years. So they expanded that list of communities. In the past, it was a little under 20, I believe. Now it's like 40, over 40. So that was a huge addition to the program. In addition, one of the components to the social equity applicant is having a marijuana-related conviction. They also added that you can have a marijuana-related felony and still be approved for the social equity program, which is also very huge for our community.
Do you see some things that the program could still use some more work on?
Oh, yes, April. Yes, yes. Actually, I had the pleasure of talking with the MRA Executive Director, Andrew Brisbo, about some of these suggested changes. Just talking to applicants, some of our peers, we also are social equity applicants. One of the largest barriers to entry into the cannabis space is funding, lack of capital, lack of access to capital. And with cannabis still being federally illegal, it's totally legal here in Michigan, but federally illegal, it's very challenging for an entrepreneur to go to a Bank of America, if you will, and get an SBA loan. In addition, you know, during this pandemic, all these funds that have been approved by our government, the PPP and et cetera, cannabis companies aren't even entitled to that kind of pandemic assistance. So that is the largest gap. And we are working with some of our minority colleagues in the industry to lobby with the MRA. So these social equity applicants, once they are approved, they'll have access to funding because they can get approved to the social equity program. But if they don't have the funding to construct a facility, if you will, or hire a top paid attorney, you know, they won't really have access to operations. So that's the largest gap we see, because once you have funding, a lot of doors open. You know, you can pay a consultant, an architect, you can pay people to do things you don't know how, but it's the funding.
Still.
Yes. Yes.
The city of Detroit's getting ready to introduce a new adult use ordinance, maybe this month, maybe in November. How do you see those changes affecting the business in Detroit?
Well, I honestly think it's a good thing. I think it'll be definitely a larger customer base that we'll have access to. And being recreational means, you know, you only have to be 21 years old and you have a driver's license to be able to purchase cannabis. So I think it's an exciting time.
Michigan, like the other states where cannabis has been legalized, are also dealing with how to address the black market, which did not entirely go away when legalization happened. Has that been much of a problem for your business? Do you feel like you're being undercut?
No, I think the black market, unfortunately, is going to stay the black market. I think it's just the barriers to entry, even with social equity programs, are still really high, and it can be challenging. And if someone's been in the black market, they may just not be motivated to put all their information out there, because it's a really rigorous process of, you know, giving so much information. And some people just don't feel comfortable giving up that type of information.
Well, and the relationships that may have kept them in business may or may not be durable when all that comes into daylight.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think that the state or the local government can or should do more to address the illegal market right now?
Yeah, I think at some point something may have to be done, just because the cannabis that is on the black market is not being tested, you know, and really that's my major concern.
The product.
Yeah, the products themselves aren't tested. And so me being a caregiver for so long, I really think it's important to put out the best quality product, whether it's for recreational or adult use, rather, or whether it's for medicinal use. I mean, you still want people to have access to good, clean cannabis.
How would you ladies rate the job that the Marijuana Regulatory Agency has been doing? I mean, this is something that states and cities have pretty much had to build from the ground up. There are some models in other states, but is this agency responding to Michigan's needs?
I guess I'll touch on that.
Oh, boy. Long pause there.
You know, one thing is the MRA has been very receptive to feedback. That's something that I can really appreciate for them is, you know, they'll put out a policy or something like that, and they'll ask for feedback. And they've also been forming these what they call work groups of industry professionals to give them real-time feedback. They've been doing them via Zoom now, but even with the pandemic, they haven't stopped. So that's something that I can really appreciate from them. I definitely have worked in the cannabis space on the West Coast, and I don't think I ever recall the regulatory agency asking us what we thought, you know, we kind of forced our thoughts upon them. So that has been really great. But, you know, I also would add they could be doing more, because we've seen regulatory agencies in other states, Illinois, for instance, our close cousin, that their agency has done more for social equity applicants, for instance, or their agency has done more of working with local municipalities like Chicago or instance, Detroit. So they've been very receptive to feedback, and I'm thankful that they just don't throw things out there and then close the door and say, okay, you guys have fun. You know, they care, but they could be doing more.
I don't know if you feel like you've had much of a chance to even catch your breath through summer and fall, but what are you trying to keep in mind about the future as we head toward the end of the year?
Yeah, I think what we're trying to keep in mind about the future, especially when it comes to our company, Collexium, is that when people see our products on the shelves, they know that we're doing things behind the scene to help the community. It's not just about us. It's really about the community itself and really building generational wealth, a generational brand, something that people can look back at and see that connection, you know, and see the work that we put in.
Rebecca, how about you?
I think it's also important in regards to cannabis policy. You know, a lot of the lobbying that the industry does now, the cannabis industry does now, saying, you know, there's not enough minority ownership, there's not enough women, there's not enough. That's because we weren't really at the table when these policies and these ordinances were being written. So I think it's very important as we matriculate through our business to continuously be involved on the policy side, on the lobbying side, being at these city hall meetings, being at these MRA public hearings. I think it's very important to consistently be involved because, like you mentioned earlier, the Detroit adult use ordinance is supposed to come out next month, but there's still going to be revisions, you know, so we need to continuously be involved because this industry is still new and it's still a lot of kinks that need to be smoothed out. And the people that are writing the laws, they don't really have industry knowledge. You know, they're elected officials, they're city council people, they're city attorneys. They don't have industry knowledge. So they're going to consistently need that consultation from entrepreneurs like LaToya and I to tell them best practices because we've seen best practices in real time for the last 10 years.
Rebecca Collette is the CEO of Collexium, and we've also been talking with LaToya Rucker, the company's COO. Ladies, it's really wonderful to hear your voices. We hope you and your families are well, and thank you for taking a few minutes to update us on what's going on.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah, thank you, April. Really appreciate the opportunity to, you know, shed light on cannabis. I think sometimes cannabis is kind of left out, but throughout this pandemic, I think it should be known that it's essential. It's not going anywhere. If anything, it's going to continuously go up, and people really need access to this plant. So we're excited about giving people more access and education to this plant. And thank you for having us. We appreciate it.